And we're going to open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, dear Jesus, for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for the coming of spring, Lord God, because it tells us all that, again, you are faithful, that promise, Lord God. Father, you said as long as this earth remains that there would be summer, winter, springtime, and harvest, Lord. So we thank you, Father God, for the coming of springtime once again, Lord God. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And if we can impress upon you, Lord, please come again. Come, Lord God. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to work with us and to talk to us and to teach us this morning, Lord God. And I pray that our hearts would be open, our hearts would be receptive to your word, Lord God, that we would take it in, we would digest it, and it will become a part of who we are. Now, Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So come on in. We're going to get going, and we are on real accountability, guys. And I'm telling you, we started it a couple weeks ago, and we are going to continue with real accountability. I know y'all love to famish it, but we're going to have another Sunday dinner someday. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Thank you all for that. Came to the Sunday dinner. It was really nice. Really enjoyed everybody. So we are going to just review what we did last week. Last week we showed the movie clip, The Weight Room, where we had Michael and Tony talking. And as you know, Michael was the one that was trying to talk to his friend Tony about just some things that he kind of sensed was going on in Tony's life concerning his marriage. And we talked about last week, we just spent all of last week talking about what is it like to be in Michael's shoes. Someone that you see somebody's in trouble or they're getting in trouble, and how do you deal with that? And some of the things that we confront when we're dealing with these things, like your own feelings, for instance. You know, you can feel all kind of things when you see people in trouble. You can feel anger, you can feel resentment, you can even feel sorry for people, you know. So, but as we talked about in the first session, you know, we have to look at honest evaluation of ourselves first. Before we can even begin to minister to other people, we have to look at ourselves, and we have to look at what we're dealing with. We have to look at our feelings and our emotions. And today we're going to talk again about emotions, because that's a biggie when it comes to how we interact and how we can help people with accountability. We talked about sometimes there's a fear of losing relationships, and that's why we don't say things to people. We just kind of, you know, go along, we go with the flow, and sometimes even endorse what they're doing because we're so afraid to confront them. And then we also talked about fear of standing in God's word. In this society and the climate that we live in, sometimes it's hard to stand as a believer in this climate, you know, when people are so, you know, lackadaisical about the things of God and so endorsing of things that are outright sin against God. So that was the issue in Michael's shoes. Then we talked about Tony's shoes. Tony was the one that was getting in trouble, and he didn't necessarily want his friend Michael talking about him, about his marriage and other things. In fact, he just came out and said that, you know, Michael, this is none of your business, you know. And yes, you can get that kind of reaction, you know. And what was going on with Tony was pride, you know, pride, pride, pride. It always, you know, the scripture says it very clear. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, and you can take it to the bank. That is true. You know, prideful people are headed for a fall. So you've got to know and understand that, and you've got to look beyond their fault and see their need. But Tony was lifted up in pride, and sometimes we've been in Tony's shoes. You know, we're all caught up in our emotions and our feelings, and we're going to do what we want to do. And we don't care if it's against a violation of the Word of God. So we don't want to hear necessarily what our Christian brothers and sisters are telling us. We just want to go ahead and do what we want to do. And then we talked about the influences of demons and the influences of other people. You know, as we said all over and over, you got to understand where you are. You got to understand the human condition. The human condition is that we live on a planet that is fallen, and we are surrounded by the hordes of hell. We've got to understand where we live. And we got to understand that there are influences all around us. And these influences, I'm going to tell you, it's not like they dislike humans. They hate humans, okay? They hate humanity. I know sometimes it seems like, oh, they're sweet. I don't know why people get into witchcraft. They get into witchcraft, and some people get into outright Satan worship. And it does not even make any kind of sense. I said, because Satan hates you. He may give you stuff and promise you stuff for a moment, but in the end, oh, he's leading you to death. Okay, so we've got to understand our situation. Okay, so you need to understand the human situation and not walking around here like you're in a field of daisies. Okay, because we are surrounded by the hordes of hell that influence us all the time, do all kind of things to us, push our buttons all the time. And that's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. That's why you need to be praying every day. That's why, you know, you need to be keeping it under control of the Holy Spirit. Because as soon as you step out on your own, you are destined to failure. I'll tell you right now, you're going to fly off the handle. You're going to say something you shouldn't say. So you have to be so careful that we stay under the covering of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about being in Michael's shoes and Tony's shoes. And today we're going to deal with the importance of accountability. So we're in the section on your handout. Mine's a number different than yours. It says, how important is accountability in the context of Christian relationships? ? Page 4. It's page 4 of your handout. It says, how important is accountability in the context of Christian relationships? And we're going to talk about that for a while. So the first comment is from Hebrews 10:25, and it says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Folks, every day we're getting closer. We're getting closer. You see more and more of the prophecies being fulfilled and being played out in the earth. So we need to be thinking about this, how we encourage each other. It's important when you see people slipping, you need to be encouraging them, because the day of his return is drawing closer and closer, and this is not a time to be goofing off with your faith. This is a time to be getting stronger and stronger in your faith, not goofing off with it. So in our notes, it says, Christian accountability and encouragement in the faith has never been more critical than in the days in which we live. We are constantly wrestling with the compromise of the Word of God, and in some cases, outright backsliding of believers. It is happening, folks. People are being picked off one by one. And I don't care. Don't ever think that you are too strong in the Lord in order for Satan to pick you off. Because I tell you, anyone in this room, he has a longer resume than any one of us, okay? We've been here like a second. Okay, and he's been here for millions of years. Okay, he's been around a long time. Okay, so we really want to think about that this is happening, that people are falling off the grid. So we have to have our antennas up, our spiritual antennas up, and be paying attention to our brothers and sisters. What's going on with them? You know, if you don't see them, are we calling them? Are we checking on them and making sure everything's okay? Because we don't want them falling off the grid. The scriptures command us to do this. We are constantly battling oppressions and attacks of Satan. As the scriptures above infers, as the day of Christ returns draws closer and closer, the intensity of our enemy to steal away the believer's faith grows stronger. Do you get that? You understand that? You see it. People that, you know, you ever heard something from a believer? You're like, what? What, you believe what? Where'd you get that from? Well, I just think that, you know, maybe we should, you know, look at it, you know, a different way. I'm like, you know, there is no other way to look at it than the Word of God says. I said, if you're looking at it a different way, then you are going against God. Period. You know, and we've got to come to grips with that. So the enemy's, his cunningness, his intensity to steal away the believer's faith grows stronger and stronger. So what is the solution? First point, we come together to worship. We need to get together. We need to come together to learn, to be encouraged, and to grow up together in Christ. We have strength in our togetherness. I'm going to say that again. We have strength in our togetherness. A major scheme of Satan is to divide or to isolate and then conquer the lonely believer. He works at it constantly to separate us and to divide us and to keep us at home for every kind of reason, to get us offended, to get our feelings hurt, to all kind of craziness he gets in our head, and we don't come together. You know, not even just in the church. I mean, just even out in the community. You know, you might have a neighbor as a believer, and the enemy will try to keep you all from talking or getting mad because, oh man, they threw a rock over on my lawn. So, you know, all kind of craziness that we use that divide us. You have coworkers that are believers. Instead of getting together and praying at lunchtime, well, we're mad because she got the promotion and I didn't. Folks, oh, it should not be named among us. The unity of the Spirit. We endeavor, we fight for it. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I think that's what we need to understand, is that you've got to fight for the unity. You know, those of you that are married, you know you've got to fight to keep your marriage together. You've got to fight for that thing. Because the enemy is always trying to come and divide and to destroy all kind of ways. The same thing with our relationship with other believers. We got to fight for it. We got to plead for it. We can't, don't let just a funny look from a brother or sister keep you from interacting with them. You keep going. You fight for that. You fight for that brother. You fight for that sister. Because we are constantly battling these oppressions. So we have strength and togetherness. So and the enemy always is trying to divide us. Therefore, we stay together. We strive to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and love and support between us. And that scripture is found in Ephesians 4:3. If you want to, the scripture about keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He's talking to the church at Ephesus about striving to keep that unity. We stay together through offenses and other hurts. We choose to forgive and stay together. To forgive is a choice. It is a choice to forgive. If you're waiting for your feelings to line up with it, then you're going to be waiting a long time. Because Satan will see to it that your feelings never line up with it. You have to make a choice to forgive. And I guarantee you, when you make the choice to forgive up here, you make a mental choice to forgive, your feelings will line up with your will. It is a matter of your will. You know, I hear these people say, well, I just can't forgive them for what they did. They just can't. Yes, you can. You won't. You won't forgive. I mean, look at what Christ forgave us for, forgave you for. None of us can stand here and talk about we're so perfect and, you know, we never needed forgiveness. I know I needed forgiveness. So we got to forgive each other. That's why Jesus came into your heart, so that you could forgive. So you choose to forgive. We are a people that are not moved by our feelings, but we're moved by the Spirit of the living God. And you really got to tap into the Holy Spirit here, folks. You know, the Holy Spirit has got to start taking precedence over your feelings. If you are children of the living God, His Spirit lives in you. That means that Spirit takes over everything, including your feelings. I heard a preacher say, whatever inspires you will control you. If your feelings inspire you, then your feelings will control you. But if the Holy Spirit inspires you, then the Holy Spirit will control you. And inspiration is a decision you make within your heart and within your mind. Inspiration. What inspires you? So you got to ask the question, what inspires me? And I'll tell you, it'll be what you're thinking about all the time. What inspires me? Do you have scriptures popping up in your mind? Do you think about Jesus? Do you even think about him? And if that isn't the case, folks, press in. Like, Lord, I want to be thinking about you, but I got to admit, I may have a thought in the morning. Say my little prayer, maybe a thought at night, but otherwise through the day, I'm doing my thing. So you got to think about what is inspiring you. Because inspiration is a decision you make with your heart and your mind. This decision making is a part of your warfare in overcoming yourself. Folks, and some of us just be thinking about ourselves. Spend the whole day just thinking about our feelings and how we feel about this and how we feel about that. The whole day is spent in their feelings. You ever talk to somebody and you could be telling them the most tragic thing that it just, you know, I just went through this and, you know, I lost a loved one. And somehow, some way, they turn the conversation back around to themselves. I'm like, you know, how did this get about to be about you? But every time you talk to them, you're like, it always turns in, oh yeah, that happened to me. Yeah, last year I lost a loved one too. And I just, oh my goodness, I just lost a loved one. You know, I just, oh my goodness, I just don't know how I got through it. Before you know it, you comforted them. Okay, it's all good. It's going to be all right. Jesus is going to take us through, you know. Always about them. But all of us, I tell you, every single one of us has to get over ourselves. And you'll know when you get over yourself, because you're not so easily offended when you get over yourself. You won't be so offended, because people that are easily offended, they are so, it's all about them. It's all about them. It's all about them. But when someone can say something back to you and you still going to be there helping them and loving them and all that, that's when you're getting over yourself and you're becoming a child of God. Now you're becoming a child of God. Oh man, go read about the early church in the book of Acts and all the stuff that they went through, and they kept coming back and kept coming back. They were finally all crucified. I mean, the apostles, they were all just crucified. You know, there's the video series that's out today, The Bible, you know, and I was watching it the other day, and they were talking about at the end, the very last video of that video series, they give a story on what happened to all the disciples. Oh my God. I was like, Matthew was killed in Ethiopia. I think James was killed in India. I'm like, you got all the way to India. I mean, they were determined. The people didn't want to hear them. The people hated them. But they were over themselves. And they had their mind, if I die here for Jesus, I die here for Jesus. If I lose my friends, I lose my friends. But you got to get over yourself. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of this world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We have to learn the weapons of our warfare. They're not what we think they are. Getting over your feelings will give you warfare power. Do you understand that? When you get over yourself, you will have warfare power. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5, you need to write this scripture down. It should have been in here. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we tear down. And it says, we tear down. Not Jesus. We tear down arguments and every presumption set against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's your work. You have to tear this stuff down in your life. And it's by what you read, what you look at, what you think about, what's inspiring you. You got to tear down arguments. And what are those arguments? That's those whisperings in your ears. Somebody does something to you, and here comes Satan, because Satan was watching the whole thing. Well, you know what you should do. You shouldn't do what you were going to do for them. You should just not do that. You shouldn't do that. Whispering, that's an argument that you need to have right now with the enemy, and you tear it down. I know you were going to do that party for them, but don't do the party for them anymore. Just tell them you just can't do it. Just call them up right now. Just tell them you can't do it. You tear down that argument, and you keep doing the party, and you keep loving, and you keep forgiving. Because that is an argument that you've got to tear down in your mind, that the enemy is always trying to divide. And you take captive every thought. That's your work. That hits me, that it says we take it and we make it obedient That means it's an act of your will. You make it obedient to Christ. If you've got to carry a scripture around in front of your face, a 3x5 card, we've got the phone now. Just put the scripture you need in your phone and highlight it. In the Bible app, you can highlight scripture and just pull that scripture. I need to read the scripture again. Okay, love your enemies. Do good to them that hurt you. Pray for them that persecute you. If you have to keep it in front of you until your mind grabs hold. Because see, whatever you keep putting in your mind, our minds are something really interesting, the brain. Boy, you keep putting stuff in here, and after a while, it gets engraved there, and it keeps coming up. You'll dream about it. That's the way the Word of God can work. But you've got to tear down those arguments in your head, because they're coming. The enemy is all around you, just waiting. He watches. He watches you and see what you're doing. And as soon as there's some little tiff, some little agreement, he's right there. And you've got to tear down those arguments. This is your work of discipline. As children of God, we do not allow our feelings to toss us to and fro into all kinds of emotional and irrational decisions and behaviors. That's not us. We're not, you know, we don't allow our emotions. Yes, we have emotions. Yes, we're human beings, but we do not let them control, because we got the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to toss us all over the place. The apostle said, this is what the apostle said. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. That's 1 Corinthians 9:27 from the New Living Translation. I'm like, he says, you know, one translation says, I buffet my body and I make it my slave. I like that translation. I buffet my body. You getting up today. You getting up and praying.
You know what?
Yeah. There's probably King James. I know the King James Version or the New King James. It was 1 Corinthians 9:27. That's one just to have by your bedside. I buffet my body and I make it my slave. I get up. And I like the fact that he said, after I've preached to other people. Amen. You know, so he's talking to people that up in front of folks, talking their talk, you know, talking to Karen Coleman and all of us that's up there. He said, after you preach to others, you yourself can be cast away. So none of us are excluded. None of us are getting a pass. So we have to buffet our bodies. We have to discipline our bodies. That's our work again. We train it. He says, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So you've got to get over yourself. You've got to get over yourself. Let me say it one more time. You have got to get over yourself if you are going to live for God. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. He said, they hated me and they're going to hate you. But you've got to get over yourself, because if you're so caught up in your feelings you can't function, you need to go back to your prayer closet and get over it. In our minds, we are drawn. And we got to think about this. In our minds, have we drawn a line in the sand? And have we said, if anybody crosses this line, it's on? You know, I'm okay with you talking about my house and my car, but don't you talk about my child. Don't you talk about my mama. There's certain topics we don't talk about. Oh man, what they say, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics. Oh, if somebody says something about my culture and my race, oh my God, I'm in America. I gotta talk about America. Because I was studying this, so I said, Lord, we've been together for over 200 years. And we still fighting. Oh, but if the people and the children of the living God would rise up. Because I've seen Christians get into this. I'm like, really? I said, really? Boy, if you ever get a chance to listen to Tony Evans. Tony Evans did what's it called? You probably heard of Virginia. He was on Focus on the Family. They played it on Focus on the Family. and it was Tony Evans. If you can find it, just go to iTunes and just do Focus on the Family and Tony Evans. He did a beautiful sermon to us Christians when it comes to race and all this kind of carrying on. Like, where does Jesus fit in all of this? Oh, Jesus was about everybody, folks. Jesus was about everyone. That's why they were so shocked when he was talking to the woman in Samaritan. Because Tony Evans was talking about the Jews called the Samaritans those Samaritan dogs. That's what they called them. Because they were mixed race. They were mixed blood. And Jesus was over there talking to a Samaritan and a woman, too. A woman. Jesus, I love Jesus. He just crosses all kind of lines. Jesus is like, I'm crossing your line. He'll be right all up in your grill, you know? I know that, but Jesus will be all up in my grill. And he'll be asking me questions like, so what you saying? You betraying me now? Not necessarily, it's just that, you know, you heard what they said, you know? So are you betraying me now? Oh man, because that's what it comes down to, folks. That's what it comes down to. What does it take? What line does people have to cross to get you to betray your Lord? See, that's what you need to ask. If they cross this line, Jesus, I'm going to betray you. I'm going to put my Holy Ghost on the shelf and take care of this myself. That's what they used to say back in the day. Back when I was growing up, they used to say that. Oh, girl, I had to put my Holy Ghost on the shelf and deal with this myself. So we're talking about accountability, and you got to be accountable before the Holy Ghost. What does it take for you to betray your Lord to you, for you to say, Lord, I don't trust you beyond this point? And you've got to know your adversary, because the devil plays dirty. He will cross every line. I know this pushed your button, so I'm going to have so-and-so say this to you, because I know this is your sore spot. And I believe this is going to make you betray your Lord. Watch. You're going to betray Christ. Oh, he watches you. You got to understand, he watches you. He sets you up. The scripture says it. I'm not saying this. The scripture says every day you are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. That means he's planning. He's got a whole army of demons, and he's planning. I'm going to take Karen Colvin down today. I know her sore spot. Okay. So again, folks, we're talking about warfare. And in warfare, you need intel. You need to know how the enemy is attacking you, how he's coming at you. Go back over last week and go over what upset you last week. What made you lose your temper last week? What made you slip and say something you shouldn't have said last week? See, because the enemy knows that button. But you have got to overcome. And again, I say, you've got to get over yourself. As the apostle said, I die daily. I'm beginning to understand what that means. I die daily. That means people will hurt my feelings. People are going to say things. People are going to be unfair. But I die daily. I let it go. I don't have time to be arguing with you because you gave me the wrong amount of change. It does not turn into a big hubbub. Let it go. When you see it heating up and it turning, you know what? It's okay. Let it go. Be children of the living God. God can give you back your 59 cents. I mean, really, who do you serve? I mean, it's the things that the enemy gets us off on. So let's let it go. See the bigger picture. See the world before you, people dying, slipping into eternity every day.
And you arguing over minutiae, things that don't even matter. Let it go.
So as we go on the lesson, next point says, again, we're talking about the importance of accountability in the context of Christian relationships. We submit to one another as we are told the truths of the Word of God by our pastors, our teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, fellow believers, and personal Bible study. Because, honey, I'm telling you, all the way from your pastor, all the way to your personal Bible study, the Lord can speak to you and tell you some truths. But you have to submit to it. Submit to it. Ignorance of the Word of God leaves a gaping hole for Satan to attack. Ignorance, you know, as we say in the United States, ignorance of the law is no excuse. That judge does not care that you didn't know that it was against the law to murder somebody. I didn't know. You are still going to prison. And Satan is like that too. He doesn't want you to read that word. He doesn't want you reading it because you're going to find out what to do. You're going to find out how to have power over him. Satan doesn't care that you didn't know. A red light is a red light, and if you violate it, you're in danger. The truths of life and eternity that are in the Word of God cannot be violated without consequences, guys. That is why our world is in the condition it's in. And even the innocent will suffer. The innocent will suffer because you didn't bother to learn the truths of the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The people closest to you, those children that you say you love so much, will you take the time to read the Word of God so that you can lead them better and take care of them better and protect them better and teach them better? Will you take that time? Because the devil doesn't care that you didn't know. He's hoping you don't know. He wants you to stay ignorant of the Word of God so he can keep doing what he's doing in your life. And the scripture says in Romans 6:23, for the wages or the cost of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a cost for sin. Folks, it's just a truth. It's an eternal truth. There is a cost for sin. The next one in your lesson says, seek to be baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit, who gives you the greatest accountability of all. He will minister the accountability of the Word of God directly into your spirit at all times. He will bring godly conviction to your heart when you sin or when you are thinking of sinning. Hallelujah. I think you know what I'm talking about, you guys. You're just thinking about it. Well, no one will know. You know, it's just a little pencil. It's just a little this or that. And you see the Holy Spirit is like, I didn't raise you like that. You know it. Oh, man. And I love that, because before you do it, he will start convicting you. Get accountability. Accountability right there. It's good that he catches us before we sin. He will also bring the godly graces, which is the fruit of the Spirit, into your spirit during times of testing so that you can overcome. He will. He'll bring the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you press into the fruit of the Spirit. And he will bring those godly graces. He will even lift burdens. I've had that experience. Nothing has changed, but the Holy Spirit just lifted the heaviness of it so that I could bear it, so that I could overcome. The scriptures teaches us no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always, hallelujah, provide the way out as well, so that you may be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Hallelujah. That's 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 in the Amplified. So that says a lot that God, this is God's promise to you. He will be there with you in the moment of testing, in the moment of trial. He will be there with you. Call on him. Call on him. Don't try to do this by yourself. Call on him, because he said he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist it. He will help you to stand for him and with him through trial, but you need to call on him. He will help you overcome. I'm a witness. He will help you overcome. Some things I've gotten through, I don't know how I got through them. Lord, I don't know how. I should have been in a state hospital somewhere. I don't know how I got through this with my right mind. How in the world did I make it? And people say, well, That happened? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was telling me what she was going through. I'm like, what? I said, you came with a smile on your face, and I never knew you went through that. God helped her. God brought her through. Sometimes we're in vulnerable situations. She was in a vulnerable situation. All she had was Jesus to help her. And sometimes that's where we are. No help, no money, nobody to call on, no support. Jesus will be there, folks. Just call on him. Press in. Press into him. Call on him and he will come. So there should be, the Holy Spirit will hold you accountable, because he is always there. Not only holding you accountable, but infusing you with the strength and the power to overcome. See, the Holy Spirit, he multitasks, you know. He's encouraging you and he's giving you the power to overcome. Thus, so the greatest person that can hold us accountable at any given time is the Holy Spirit, and his accountability will keep you safe. It will keep you safe, not just physically safe and temporarily safe, but the Holy Spirit will keep you eternally safe. And that's where it really counts, eternal safety. The next point on your lesson. Within Christian accountability, we support others when they are weak and faltering. We do not gossip or shun a weakened brother or sister, but show them the love of Christ more than ever, as Satan is seeking to steal them away from us, because this is warfare. You are fighting for them. The scriptures teach us that most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. I love that. 1 Peter 4 and 8. So we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray again, and we never, ever relinquish a brother or sister to Satan. I know a lot of things have happened. Yeah, the divorce happened. Yes, this happened. Yes, the house burned down. Yes, you lost the house. Yes, but we never stop praying. We never relinquish people to Satan. We keep praying. And we keep praying. It may be years later, but we keep praying and covering them in prayer. The next point on your lesson, we pray and we pray again for our weakened brother or sister. We pray relentlessly and never relinquish them to Satan's lair. Prayer can make all the difference when a brother or sister has fallen or is in the midst of a trial. Prayer will dispatch holy angels from God to do warfare on behalf of the fallen, the tempted, the troubled, or the oppressed believer. Hallelujah. He will send angels because you prayed. Because you prayed. That's why the Lord says, who's praying? And you might say to yourself, well, God sees the problem. Why don't he just take care of it? Because that's a part of it. God makes us a part of our own deliverance as a race of people. As the human race, God says the human race, you have got to be involved in your own deliverance. He makes it that way. I mean, we could just sit here and just say, well, God knows. Let God do it. But God says, no, not so. I need you to be involved. That's just a truth. When you get to heaven, you can ask him more about that. Why? Why didn't you just do it? You can ask him. But right now, he says, you need to be involved in this deliverance. You need to be a part of this warfare. So we get busy. We get our armor on. We get our hearts right. We put on our armor and we get ready to go fight for those that are faltering, those that are weak. There are people around us all the time that you know they're faltering. They're weak. I hear people all the time, you know, talking about how they raise their children in a certain way. And then the enemy, here comes the enemy. They're late teens and they're early 20s. Here come the enemy. Folks, don't relinquish your children. Don't relinquish them. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what has happened. You don't give them up. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep praying and praying and praying until that child turns around, because God will do it. He will send ministering angels to minister to them. He'll send the Holy Spirit himself to minister. And I believe Christ himself sometimes will come. I've heard people tell stories about, you know, Joyce Meyer was talking about that, how people tell her that, you know, Jesus came and sat down at the foot of my bed and talked to me for 15 minutes. She said, that never happened to me. Never happened to me either. So, but I believe he would do that. If that's what it took to save his own, he would. He would. So don't relinquish anybody. Oh my goodness. So the next section on our lesson is talked about engage. That means, hey, here we go. Here we go. Engage. Here we go. So we're talking about accountability unchained. What does it look like? Okay, so let's start with our scripture from Hebrews 3:13. But, okay. Just his, where he lives, where he lives, where he dwells, you know, you can call it hell, you can call it just, you know, on earth, people that are just caught up in the enemy, Satan's lair, where he hangs out. So basically that's what we're talking about when we're saying lair. So accountability unchained. Hebrews 3:13 says, but continually encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today and there is an opportunity, so that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. Wow, what a powerful scripture. Because we see this happen to people. We see that people can settle into rebellion. They may be so, you know, so-so. But after so long, they will settle into rebellion, and it's harder to reach them once they settle into rebellion. So we want to, Margaret, I'm going to stop for questions in a bit. Okay, we will. We'll be praying for Margaret's family. We sure will, Margaret. So as we look at this scripture, we see that this has happened You know, we had people that kind of tolerated the word of God. They sometimes they were believers. They had been believers. And then they kind of drew away and they kind of still tolerated the word of God. And then there came a point where they were just so hardened. And the scriptures is describing this. This is what happens because Satan gets a deeper and deeper grip on them and pulls them further and further away until they are hardened. So we want to get them. We want to encourage. They said, but continually encourage one another so you don't get there. So you don't let your brothers and sisters get there. Because the enemy is clever. He is delusive. Oh, delusive glamour. Meaning it looks good. But it's a delusion. It looks good. See, Satan, no need saying Satan doesn't have anything to offer. He has a lot to offer. That's why people are out there, because he has all, he's got some good things. They feel good, look good, smell good. But it's a delusion. It's temporary. And the scripture says he's sophisticated. He's clever. And I'm telling you, he's more clever than I am. He is more clever than I am. The only reason why I get past him is because of Jesus Christ, who has more power, has more authority, has more knowledge than he does. That's the only reason why I make it. So if you think you can step out there on your own with him, with the enemy, you are mistaken. Your lesson says this verse speaks of taking the opportunity to encourage each other in the faith at all times. There does not have to be anything wrong to encourage a brother or sister. I like that. There doesn't have to be anything wrong to encourage brothers and sisters. You know, I'm just thinking about, you guys are always giving me little gifts. You know, Tressa gave me this little journal, you know, and I just appreciate, you know, sometimes y'all bring me a bottle of water. You know, Terry gave me some chocolates and, you know, and Rose, there's Rose. Rose always blessing me with stuff, you know, but this, both Rose are blessing with, and I just, you know, it encourages me, you know. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm in trouble, but it encourages me. I'm in trouble. I never. But you know, and it just gives drives home a point. Don't wait till people get in trouble to encourage them. Love on them. Let them see the love of the body of Christ. Amen. I mean, people should be walking in those doors and feel love. Amen. You know, make it a point when you cross that lobby, you talking to people and hugging folks and, you know, and making sure they feel the love. It shouldn't just be when they're announcing it from the pulpit. Go find somebody to hug. Okay. Hug. Oh, God bless. God bless. Not that you're not sincere with that, but I'm just saying it shouldn't be the only time that we're constantly encouraging one another. People should want to come to church just to see, so we can see each other and love on each other. So don't wait till anything's wrong to encourage a brother or sister. There needs to be the opportunity. If you have the opportunity to encourage somebody. You know, if you made a pie, bring somebody a piece. You know, bring somebody a piece of pie. You know, they didn't ask for it. You just, oh, you know, I think, you know, Joanne would like a piece. So I'm going to take her a piece of pie to work. You know, so encourage each other. We can prevent hardness in a fellow believer when they go through trials by encouraging them in the good days. So when they go through, they can remember, oh, I'm loved. I'm surrounded by people that love me. So I think I can make it, because a Sunday's coming and I'm going to be able to go around my family at the church and they're just going to love on me. And everything's going to be all right because I know they got my back. I know they will. I know I can call on them, you know. Remind them to pray over themselves and their family. You know, I was reminding somebody today. I said, you know, I've gone through some stuff in my family. Pray over your children. I'm telling you, pray over them now when they're still little. Be praying over them. Help cultivate their relationship with Christ when the days are good. And this prevents hardness when the trial comes. They'll be able to stand in Christ. You know, don't just ignore them. And then when the trial comes, you want to jump in and do all this intense Bible study. Man, encourage them. Hey, come on to our Bible study. You know, come on. We meeting. Come on. You know, and let's get into God. Let's get strong in the Lord. The next one in your lesson says, as iron sharpens iron, So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And that's Proverbs 27:17, and that's one of our key verses in this piece. You know, we sharpen each other. As we all endeavor in the faith together, we hold each other's feet to the fire of the Holy Spirit. Just like that video clip we saw with Michael. And remember how Tony walked off and said, "I'll see you in church, brother." And Tony said, "Well, I want to see the church in you." Oh, man. It was a good line. I was like, "Oh, man, that's a good one. I got to remember that one." You know, we hold each other's feet to the fire. No one is too high and mighty that he or she cannot receive a word in season from a brother or sister who gives genuine encouragement of the faith. Everybody needs encouragement. You know, you need to be praying for our pastors. Pray for Pastor Steve. You know, pray for Pastor Phil and all the other pastors we have here. Man, Satan Bowles, I tell people, Satan Bowles, he gets that front center pin first. Because he knows if I knock that pin down, all the others will fall. And it happens. You know, we see pastors giving up. Like, I just can't do this anymore. Pray for them. They should always have a blanket of prayer around them from the congregation. We should be praying and lifting them up every day because they're standing in the forefront for us. We're behind. We're those pins behind, you know, behind them. But they're right front center. And Satan knows, boy, how can I take them out? He may be shooting darts at us, but honey, he's sending a missile for our leadership. So let's pray and make sure we're lifting them up, lifting their families up. That's the way he gets in. He messes with their family. Lift their family up too. So we just need to be praying. So we know one is too high and mighty that they don't need encouragement. Our Lord made his church to need all of its members. Yes. He put us together so everybody is needed. Don't think anybody is insignificant or irrelevant, but pray for everybody. In fact, I'm so glad Margaret told us, asked before she leaves, "Hey, y'all pray for me. Pray for my family." So we're going to pray for Margaret's family before we leave because we need Margaret. You know, she's part of the body and we need her. We want her here. Your prayers and your Holy Spirit inspired words are needed in the body of Christ. What you say, you might think it was nothing, but so many times you have said just the thing that was needed to inspire somebody to make it another day. And James 5:19-20 says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." You've got to understand the relevance of what you do, the importance of what you do. This is not if I do it fine, if I don't do it fine. Folks, you could be saving somebody from eternal death. Do you understand? Just from what you say. Just by the fact that you show somebody some kindness. You could save them from the brink. Oh, man, in this day and age, you see how Satan is taking people out. He's taking our children out through suicide. Oh, man, I'm telling you, pay attention. Oh, don't just walk past. We need everybody. We need everybody. We need the children. He's trying to take out preachers and pastors and teachers and evangelists before they can grow up. Yes. So don't take the children lightly. Satan doesn't. He doesn't. So we've got to pay attention and make sure that, you know, and children, the beautiful thing about children is that they're so easy to encourage. It's easy to encourage children. They're just so open and so receptive, and they don't have all that junk in their spirit yet, their mind yet, you know? And, oh, just the fact that you said hi to them, or you just said, "Oh, don't you have a pretty dress on?" Oh, that just made their day. Encourage them. Let them see the house of God as someplace safe and someplace wonderful, you know? Someplace where, oh, man, those people... I remember when I was little and I went to that church, and I always felt good when I was over there. They always treated me a certain way. I always felt safe there. Oh, folks, we got work to do. And sometimes it's right in front of our faces. So we want to encourage each other. We know, because we keep you from death is forever. And your prayers and your words and your behaviors can make the difference for someone into eternity and where they spend it. Where they spend it. The next point on your lesson is from Galatians 6, 1 through 2. And it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. But watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Boy, there's a lot there. That's Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Oh, man, there's just so much. This scripture holds two important truths that are tied together. There's so much in this. First, that we should seek to restore a fallen brother or sister in the right spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. With gentleness. That's part of the fruit. Gentleness. The Holy Spirit is gentle.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and, you know, she's in a situation, you know, and boy, her family just cut her off. I mean, Christians just cut her off. Boom. Until she gets out of that situation, we're just not going to have anything to do with it. I'm like, oh, man. And I felt so heavy in my heart. I said, man, why would they do that? She needs you more than ever now. And if she will allow you in her life, then stay there and love her and minister to her.
Yes.
Show her what Jesus looks like.
Amen.
The woman caught in adultery in the very act. And they brought him. They brought her. They wanted to cut her off. She needs to be cut out of the community. We need to stone her right now and get rid of her. And Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank God for Jesus. Because he turns it right back on us. You without sin. Cast the first stone. You that didn't need forgiveness. You that weren't caught up in something one time in your life. You be the first one to cut her off. If you never were caught up in anything. Yeah, it's sin. She knows it's sin. The woman in adultery, she knew she was in sin. But at that moment in time, needed compassion. Jesus wants to save everybody. The scripture says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You cannot write people off. You do not have that authority. You don't have that right. You don't have that positioning to write people off. Say they're beyond. Oh, folks, we're talking about accountability here. So we want to restore such a one. As they are teetering, your lesson says, as they are teetering on the edge of the fence, be careful not to push them completely over into the enemy's territory with harshness, rejection, or being judgmental. And that thing hurts me a lot when people say, Christians, they're so judgmental. They're so mean-spirited. Oh, boy, that used to hurt me. Because half the time it was true. Because I remember when I was there. And God had to do, Jesus had to do a work in me. Like, really? You? After what I brought you through? Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. There's a balance that takes the true movement of the Holy Spirit in this. The Holy Spirit will show you the balance. You don't want to endorse the sin, but at the same time, you need to show the love of Christ and what that looks like. Just read the Gospels. The Gospels is full of example after example after example. From the woman caught in adultery to the Samaritan woman who was living with some guy to Matthew, the tax collector. Oh, example after example how Jesus did it. Oh, it takes the balance and the movement of the Holy Spirit. When to speak, when to be silent, when to act, when to be still. You know, sometimes you act and sometimes you need to be still. Sometimes you need to back off. And sometimes you need to act. Sometimes you don't need to speak, just act. Do something nice and kind for somebody. You don't have to preach. You don't have to say a word. Just do it. I walk away and let the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Just come in.
That's right. That's right.
Some of us like to hang around so we can get the credit. Yeah, I did that. Really? I know. What does it take? I mean, just do it and walk away. And sometimes they'll get a credit to somebody else. Let it go. Jesus know you did it. We're a mess. And I'm going to do this last point, and then we're going to open for questions. And so that's first, restore them with gentleness. Secondly, keep watch over your own spirit when you encounter a fallen brother or sister. It is easy for pride to take hold of your mind and make you feel as if you are above such a fall. Oh, folks, take care. When that happens, you better take care. Satan is laying a prideful trap for you. Our attitude should be one of warning that the enemy is near and that we should draw even closer to our Lord in prayer. When you see somebody fall near you in the church, take care. Be careful. Because the enemy, he's waiting. He's just waiting for our pride to come up so he can set that trap for us too. It's like when you're in the field, when the soldiers are in warfare, and when that bullet hits someone next to you. What does that soldier do? Your response should be to take cover, isn't it?
Yeah.
If somebody goes out, you take cover. That means you get closer unto Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need to go pray harder because it happened to this person that used to sit next to me that I thought was doing okay. Oh, Lord, I'm going to press in because if it happened to them, it could happen to me. Your response would be to take cover, praying more earnestly and being more careful and watchful with your own life, even as you're pulling your brother into the foxhole. You know, that's how the soldiers do it. You know, the brother is hit, that soldier is hit, and they get down and they take cover and they pull that other one into the foxhole with them. That's what we do. We grab them, but we got our helmet on. Got our weapon ready. That's the picture you need to have in your mind when somebody falls. That you're going to take cover, but you're pulling that brother into the foxhole. They're bleeding. Don't leave him out there on the field. So anybody have questions or comments? I saw some of y'all itching. Come on, where are some of y'all? Some of y'all were itching to say something. I knew you were. I see. I'm just waiting, Sam. I look all around the room, but I know you're going to say something.
Well, of course, the weapons of the world is carnal, mighty through God, tearing down strongholds. The one thing I was thinking about in our weakness, we can be strong in the Lord. But Sister Karen said one thing. I think Christians forget one thing. They have the power through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. That's where, and I say this to a lot of brothers, you know, I go to men, I say this, Lord, let's not forget we have the power of the Holy Lord living us, the Holy Spirit. We should never forget the Holy Spirit because it's a person. It is actually the Father and the Son living in us. And we know the work of the enemy, but once we get this word in us, I always say in the morning, Lord, thank you for the Holy Word. Thank you for Jesus. Keep your words in my heart that I sin not against thee and recognize the deception of the enemy. We see it every day. Now, here's something that keeps me strong in the Lord. When I watch TV every day and see the wickedness in the world, which I was once out there too, I said, thank God that I'm born again by the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without that, there is no hope, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. So that's what I pray about every man. Keep your word established in my heart and recognize that deception, because the enemy, when I thought about when I was in the world, everything, you didn't pray about something, but all those bad things that you think about, the pleasures of the world, the enemy will bring it to you. He'll give you faster than what Jesus would give to you faster, because you got to wait on Jesus and be patient and wait on the Lord. But the enemy will give it to you quick. That's what he will. Just like you said, your weakness, I'm going to go to a man's part. A man's part was the weakness of a woman. Satan will bombard you with all that. with all those thoughts, with all those imagination. But now through the Lord Jesus Christ, when I detect that, in the name of Jesus, Satan will flee.
And you're right. Boy, good word, good word. Thank you. That was a good word. And I appreciate what you said about how Satan, and you got to know this, this is a good tactic. Satan's, one of his tactics is that he gives you stuff fast. You know, just like the stranger gives a child ice cream. Oh, you want ice cream? Okay, here's your ice cream. You want candy? Oh, here's your candy. You know, give him all this stuff, and by the end of the day, the child is sick. You know, but Jesus is, oh, he's good. He's a good, good, oh, man. We sing that song, he's a good, good father.
Philippians is speaking about unity.
Yes.
And the body of Christ, I mean, where there's power in unity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in being in one accord, it's the enemy that brings the discord. But I just wanted to share that. But this scripture, too, iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
I love that scripture, and I love being around people who know the word and who speak the word. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make a comment on Rose and Sam. It's a pleasure to always be around you, because I know you always are, you're filled with the word and you share the word. Just being at Karen's a couple Sundays ago, we were sitting around the table, and once you guys came in, you started speaking or sharing the word, and we all got sharpened by that. I know I did.
Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you for your obedience to the word.
Anybody else at that table? Can you pass it to Irene? Let me go.
I don't, it's not working.
No, I
don't.
I love it.
Are we sitting out? Oh, okay.
Dr. Karen, you were talking about God making a way of escape. Well, Satan is a liar, and he will set you up to make you fall. And then the minute you fall, he's going to come and accuse you. And he's not only an accuser, but he will torment your mind with that. But thank God that God will make a way of escape. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up his standard within you. But you got to be in your word. You got to know what it says so that you can come back at him with it, with what the word says. As Jesus said, it is written. You cannot demolish arguments if you have nothing to fight with.
That's right.
How are you going to fight Satan with an argument and you have nothing to argue? But when you have the word of God, like Jesus did, he came at Jesus, you know, bow down before me and all of this stuff, and Jesus is fasting and stuff, and he said, oh, you, I will serve the only, the scripture says, serve the Lord thy God only. So you need to know what the scripture says so you can bring down those arguments that are constantly going on in your head. Anybody else? Where we rose.
Anyways, I'm just going to talk about when, you know,
as you said, when somebody falling or something like that, and you want to, you know, minister to them, and you have to be careful of what you say sometimes, you know, and don't have that pride. You think you're self-righteous, and you got to really humble yourself. And I usually, like, I wait for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do, because I know we read a lot of Word, and we don't even, you know, remember sometimes, but when the time comes, the Holy Spirit, you know, give you that word, and he just, you know, said, what did I say? You know, and it's just God, I just want to just glorify him. And, you know, we just have to be careful when we minister to somebody, you know, you have to humble yourself before the Lord, you know.
Absolutely. It always takes humility. I mean, you got to go in there with a cloak of humility when you're going to minister to somebody, folks. I'm telling you. When you go in, if you go in there with a cloak of pride and I'm going to set you right, and oh no, you'll fall on your face and that person won't be helped. And they might even be harmed spiritually. So we just want to be very careful. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you sent the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, you said you would go, but you would send the comforter, Lord God. You would send the teacher. You would send the counselor, Lord God. And we thank you today for your Holy Spirit that keeps us accountable. Oh, Lord, that brings conviction to our heart, Lord God, when we're stepping out in our flesh, if we're stepping out, Lord, in the enemy, Lord God, your Holy Spirit is right there, Lord. So we say thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, I pray that we would be more sensitive to him, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we are more sensitive to you, Lord God, that we hear you when you're speaking to us, and Lord, that we submit to you. Oh God, as John said, we must decrease so you can increase. Oh God, let it be so. Let us decrease, Lord God, so you can increase. Oh God, we see the souls and the many lives around us, Lord God. From the infant, Lord God, all the way, Lord God, to the old man and woman, Lord God. We have people around us through the week, Lord God, that we need to be ministering to. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, change us, Lord God. Let us be sensitive, Lord God, to the still, small voice that would tell us to move, to be obedient, even the still, small voice that would tell us to be silent. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord God. And I pray above all things that we would pray. I pray that we pray, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we would not see people around us, Lord God, and not pray. Oh, God, that we wouldn't be talking and not praying for them. Oh, God. Oh, God, we repent right now for that. Because we do it, Lord. We talk, but we don't pray. So, Lord, I pray that you would make us warriors right now. Raise up your warriors in the room, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would be praying, as your word says, without ceasing. Because every moment there's another prayer that needs to be prayed, Lord God. So I pray that you would remind us and prompt us to pray without ceasing. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.